Welcome back to the show, Evan Bray. Good to have you here on the lunch hour here on this Tuesday. Born and raised in Saskatchewan, I've talked many times about growing up on the farm. We were a mixed farm operation, so we did grain farming, but we also had cattle growing up. Lots of cattle until my brother and I moved away from home. My dad decided to downsize the herd a little bit because he didn't have, you know, didn't have a couple of boys there at home throwing the bales anymore. But if you grew up in Saskatchewan, I would say you probably have some sort of familiarity with cattle, the importance of the cattle industry. They're a big part of our economy, our landscape, and for many families, it's livelihood. That's why this story out of the United States is getting a lot of attention in the ag world in our province right now. A flesh-eating parasite known as the New World screwworm has been found in U.S. livestock for the first time in decades. In fact, if you haven't heard of the screwworm before, I'd never even heard of it prior to this story. It's probably because it basically had been eradicated from North America since 1966. Basically, the parasite's larvae feed on living tissue, causing painful wounds that can become life-threatening if untreated in the animals. This is something that they are dealing with in Texas. But of course, we wonder, should it be causing us a worry up here in Canada? What protections are in place at the border? What is this screwworm all about anyway? To answer these questions, I'm happy to say we've connected with Dr. Lee Rosengren, who is the Chief Veterinary Officer with the Canadian Cattle Association. Dr. Rosengren is joining me by phone today. Thank you so much for taking our call.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start with the obvious question. What exactly is this flesh-eating screwworm all about?
I think you did a great introduction, Evan. This is a fly that lays the larva or the maggots in wounds. And the reason this fly is unique is because these maggots can be laid in living flesh. Typically, flies only eat dead flesh, but that living flesh, and they can create quite a massive wound in the infested animals. For that reason, they are a pest we do not want in North America, and the United States Department of Agriculture is eradicating them and pushing them back out, back south.
It's something that it sounds like it's out of a horror movie, honestly, when we're talking about flesh-eating parasite. So how is it different from maggots? I mean, a lot of people will think about maggots when you've got rotting flesh or a wound, those types of things.
Well, I'm glad we're doing this over lunch hour.
yeah, I know. Good timing, isn't it?
Yeah, so a typical maggot would only burrow or eat dead flesh, but these are unique in that they are able to eat and survive on the flesh of a living animal, which is what makes the wound so very severe.
So do we have any sense, Dr. Rosengren, why it's back now? I mean, the stories I've read, North America spent years eradicating screwworms. How did we do that, and what has changed?
So yes, we pushed this, pushed this back in the late 60s and early 70s, way down into Central America. And that was really with the development of an interesting scientific technique where they produce sterile male flies. This female New World screwworm fly only mates once in her life. So if you can overwhelm the population with sterile males, she mates once, she doesn't produce offspring, you break the life cycle. That approach was used to push this way down into Central America. But since about 2022, so the last 3 or 4 years, we have seen this fly creeping northward. And it has certainly been creeping through Mexico for the last couple of years. And that is the reason that the United States border has been closed to Mexican cattle for over a year now. So it's not a surprise that we have some infestations in Texas, but it's certainly something we're watching and the United States is taking very seriously.
We're chatting today with Dr. Lee Rosengren, who is the Chief Veterinary Officer with the Canadian Cattle Association. It makes sense because the news story I heard last night was the release of essentially millions of flies to try and disrupt the reproduction or the mating cycle of these flies, which I was a bit of a head scratcher to me, but you did a good job of explaining it there, Doc.
Thanks. And it's an interesting approach in that we need more sterile flies. They are investing in more facilities, but those have not come online yet because you can imagine this is an environmental approach. And so we need enough flies out there to create that firebreak, as you will, and push them back.
So, you know, I mean, I think one of the big questions here, I think about friends of mine who are large ranchers in the province of Saskatchewan. I mean, this has to be a worry. Canadian officials are saying the risk here is still low. Is that factual? And if so, why? What gives us the ability to say risk is low?
It is factual. So in the 70s, this did not creep up as far as Canada. This is a tropical / subtropical fly. It does need warm temperatures. The Canadian winter is truly our protection in this situation, in that it would stop this fly from ever becoming endemic. That said, the maggots could come in on an infested animal that was undetected, and we might have a small localized situation to deal with, but we are not concerned about this establishing in Canada.
Right. So, there's been some steps in place. I know there's no more, at least currently, no beef imports. Is it from the United States in general or just this certain area? Do you know?
Oh, let me back you up. So no impact to beef imports. This is not a food safety disease. This is strictly an animal health issue.
Sure.
But we have blocked the import of animals from Texas.
Gotcha.
So animal health certificates will not be issued, not only for cattle, but for all animals from the state of Texas until we have a clear sense of where the infestation is.
Because, I mean, that clarification is important, because I also heard a news story this morning that it's more than just cattle. I heard a dog, for example, had been infected.
That's right. This fly will lay its maggots in any warm-blooded animal. So that includes livestock such as cattle. It includes pets, horses, humans, and wildlife. So a very wide range of hosts could potentially be infested.
So if I'm a rancher listening today, and I mean, I'm happy to hear you talk about the low risk that there is in Canada, but is there something that ranchers should be a little more aware of or vigilant to just in watching their cattle and their herds to ensure that this doesn't become a problem here?
Absolutely. Excellent question. Yes, so ranchers should certainly be increasing their monitoring of what I would call high-risk animals. That would include any animals that were imported from the United States in the last 21 days, because we don't always have a full history on those animals. It would also include any animals with wounds. So occasionally wounds happen by accident, but we do also have wounds that are known to occur with management procedures such as branding, castration, dehorning. In those situations, just stepping up your monitoring of those animals for any foul-smelling wounds, visible maggots, lesions, let's check that out. Let's not just sit there and trust that all is well.
Right. Is there, what does treatment look like? I know I saw a text on the line saying, can the animals be treated if they are infected?
Yes. So this is an interesting case in that we do have treatments. Both our systemic treatments, things like ivermectins, are effective, as well as some of the topical fly medications that we use already in industry. So we certainly do have treatments that are available. And then if an animal was severely infested, we might be looking at veterinary care, surgical debridement, et cetera. But this is a treatable condition.
Once I look at the text line, I often will see a couple of good questions there. And there's one saying, are migrating birds a worry for the transmission of this?
I would say if we were in Texas, we would be paying close attention to that. I don't think that we are particularly concerned about migrating birds bringing the parasite this far forward, because, again, it creates a very severe wound. And so for an animal to continue to travel. But we don't want to rule out anything, which is why it's important for producers to be just taking an extra close look at their animals, increased monitoring, increased attention.
Dr. Lee Rosengren is my guest as we wrap up this interview. What is your takeaway as the chief veterinary officer for the Canadian Cattle Association? What's the key messaging Saskatchewan people and ranchers need to hear from you?
I think the key messaging is that the Canadian beef industry is heavily reliant on exports, and this is an opportunity for us to always remind industry that biosecurity and surveillance are foundational. They protect us from all diseases, the ones we expect and the ones we don't expect, and that's what's important, to protect our industry and protect our markets.
Dr. Rosengren, this has been a great chat. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
everything you wanted to know about screw worms and more right there. And as she pointed out, I mean, you know, as we're putting together the show, we knew this was an important topic to talk about. Maybe should we have thought it through more? Should we have not had this over the lunch hour as part of our conversation? Maybe we should have. If you missed, by the way, that entire conversation with Dr. Rosengren, you can always go back and listen to it, of course, on our website or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back to wrap up and give you a sense of what we've got on tap for tomorrow here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.